Word of God Academy is now enrolling kindergarten through 11th grade for the 2016-2017 school year. Word of God Academy provides academic excellence in a Christ-centered environment. The use of cutting-edge technology ensures a dynamic encounter for all students. Our teachers are certified and our academy is advanced ed accredited. Word of God Academy offers an interactive and spiritually productive learning experience for all grades. Call us today for a tour.
To be victim. Victims respond in a certain way. Victims want to walk up and cuss folk out. Saved and everything. Preach a title, all that. Go crazy. Victim of making you act crazy when you think you've been victimized, done wrong. Has anybody ever acted plumb crazy when you knew you were a victim in that situation? Yes, we've all been guilty. But the victor takes on a different mindset. The victor will take on a different approach that God can use and begin to vindicate and manifest himself in your life. And there's no better example of this than Joseph. Let's go to Genesis 41. When you get there, say amen. Genesis chapter number 41. Watch this. Let's go at it in verse number 51. I was at a McDonald's after a high school football game, preaching, because there's a bunch of teenagers in there after the game. They're all in there eating. So I was trying to get them saved. And so the security guard at McDonald's walked up to me and said, sir, he said, you can't do that here. I said, I'm just talking to people. He said, you can't do that here. I said, I'm just talking. He said, you can't do what you're doing here. He said, I'm going to have to escort you outside. I was in there preaching to teenagers. Teenagers need to be saved, some of them. So he walked me out, and on the way out to my vehicle, he wanted to make sure I was leaving. I started preaching the gospel to him. I said, man, if you died today, would heaven be your home? He said, well, I don't know. I said, do you realize I'm trying to preach the gospel to you, and you are forbidding me from preaching the gospel? I'm just trying to share the love of Jesus with these kids, and you're going to stop me from preaching the love of, don't you know this world needs Jesus, and these young people need Jesus? And he said, well, my grandmother's prayers are being answered. He said, my grandmother's prayers are being answered. I said, what's your grandma been praying? He said, she's been praying I get saved. I said, man, her prayers can be answered right now. He said, well, I probably do need to talk to you for a little while. So we opened up the tailgate of my truck and sat down on the tailgate. And he started pouring out his heart, all these things that was going on in his life. And I got to listen to him. I said, well, let me pray with you, man. And then we prayed, and he's crying. Big old guy, trying to cry, sheriff, deputy crying. And we prayed. He accepted Jesus. He said, come on back in here. He said, everybody needs to hear what you got to say. And walked me back into McDonald's. And he told all them teenagers, y'all need to hear what this man's got to say. I preached the gospel to all them in their McDonald's. It was at the McDonald's at the corner of Linwood and Burt Coons. Every time I pass by there, I think about it. But see, victim would have cussed that man. How you going to not let me preach the gospel? I'll hit you with my Bible. Victor, and I ain't saying I got it all together. Don't you misunderstand testimony. I don't like testimonies where it says I got it all together. I do not have it all together. I'm talking about principles that when you tap, they work. It wasn't me that worked it. The Lord works his word when we work his word. But it's his word that gets the glory, not me. So don't misunderstand my testimony. It's the Lord's testimony, not mine. But by turning it on him, man, I'm still victorious. Because you may have stopped me from preaching at McDonald's, but you are escorting me out, and you can't stop me from preaching to you. Hallelujah. Soul winning is fun. Man, he didn't win his souls, man. He's wise. God will give you wisdom on how to win souls. It's fun winning souls out there for Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's go with this. Genesis 41. You are victor. You don't, no matter what they say, you can't wear that shirt up here. You are victor. Hallelujah. You maintain that position of victor. It's going to change the way you respond to people and life and circumstances. Genesis 41, you there, say amen. All right, now, this is the story of Joseph, and I got just a few minutes here. This is the story of Joseph. And if you're familiar with the story, you know his brothers sold him out into slavery. He's thrown into pit. And in Genesis 37, 24, they threw him in a pit, stripped him of his coat that his father had given him. From there, he ends up at Potiphar's house, where he would once again get stripped of his coat. We may talk about this later. That landed him in prison. And then from prison, he ended up being called to the palace. So the man went from the pit to the palace. You study Joseph's life. He went from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison to the palace. So he had a long journey. But watch what principle he used to have success and victory in his life. Genesis chapter number, whatever it was when I told you. 41, watch this. Let's go to verse 51, drop way down. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn, his firstborn son, Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me, help me, forget all my toil and all my father's house. He said, all that stuff I've been through, God has made me forget. So when he has his first son, he's arrived now. He's at that place that God had destined him to be. And he said, I got to name my first son after what it was that got me from the pit to this palace. Well, what got him from the pit to Potiphar's house, to prison, to the palace? He had the ability to forget what had been done to him. Why is that important? Because when you cannot forget what's been done unto you, you will maintain the position of victim because you can't get over what happened in your past. The victim uses his past as the excuse to his present. I'm not saying that some of y'all hadn't been through some things. I'm just simply telling you that the enemy's warfare and what was done to you physically and mentally, the enemy's warfare is bigger than what you faced. There may be braces on your legs, but it is the braces on your mind that the enemy really uses to keep you handicapped. And so the victim, like the man at that pool, can't get over. How dare you question what led me here? How dare you bring into question why I'm here? See, Joseph could have stayed in that pit. And then when anybody there asked him about that, he could say, well, you should meet my brothers. My brothers did this to me. And then when he went from the pit to Potiphar's house, and then that thing was done to him, y'all got time? I won't take long. Joseph had been given what we call a coat of many colors, and I don't have time to go and explain all that really was, but it's a coat of righteousness that made him an heir to his father. And his father gave it to him, and it made him different than his brothers, and his brothers hated him for it. They were jealous of what he wore. And so they wanted what he wore. And there are people that attack you because they want what you have. I ministered to a young lady recently and her parents recently that was going through some struggles and then she asked me this question. She said, Pastor James, are there people that don't like you? She asked me, are there people that don't like you? And I want to laugh. I'm like, I ran into one just today that didn't like me. I ran into a guy that went off on me over something. I ain't got time for all that. Yeah, those folks don't like me. And then she said, there is. I said, yeah. And she couldn't believe that she could relate to me that people didn't like me. I said, no, people don't like me. And I asked this question. Man, I love Wednesdays. Because I know the Holy Ghost is here, and he's speaking right now. Hallelujah. We're going to be free because of his word. So watch this. So I said to her this. I said, have you ever seen a television commercial of a child in a third world country who is malnourished, and you see the bones under the skin, and the advertisement is, well, if you'll just give this much money a month, we can feed these children? She said, yes. I said, have you ever heard them talked about? Has anybody ever picked on them or talked about a child in a third world country that's starving? She said, no. I said, you will never find nobody that will talk about them because nobody wants to be them. Are there any teenagers in here? Are there teenagers in here? If you're a teenager, lift your hand up. You're a teenager. Okay, teenager, listen to me. Your friends at school, so-called friends that don't like you, they don't like you because there's something they see in you they want. You have to hear what I'm saying to you. Your enemies see something in you that they're jealous of. You might look at you and you say, I'm not that attractive. I don't have this. I don't do this. I don't have this skill. You don't get it. There's something you're wearing they're not wearing. There's something you have they don't have, and that's why they talk about you, and that's why they have become your enemy, is that you have something they want. You don't pick on, you don't bully, you don't talk about, you don't demean and degrade people that you don't want to be. Those brothers saw something on Joseph. And it came on him before the coat did. The coat was just a physical endorsement of what he already wore spiritually. My God, hallelujah. And they want to prove my point, to prove, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit's moved in here. To prove my point, when they took his coat off, when they took that coat off, all right, and because they were jealous what it looked like to be the coat, they messed around and tore the coat up, messed the coat up, put blood on the coat, then went back and gave the coat to the daddy. Now, had they really wanted the coat, if the coat was what they were really after, then when they put him in the pit, they would have cast lots. They would have fought over who gets the coat. They didn't care to have the coat. They cared to destroy the one that did. And there are people in your life that don't necessarily want to have what you have. They just want to destroy you because you have it. Because in many cases, the people that talk about you could have what you have, but they won't do what's necessary to get it. So Joseph's lost his coat, but he ain't lost his coat. Because the coat was just a physical representation of what he already bore by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so that from that moment, he's at Potiphar's house. And now in Potiphar's house, he becomes a hit. Y'all got time? I'll be through in a minute. This is good stuff here. In Potiphar's house, he becomes a chief servant to the king, if you will. And so that means he had on a certain apparel. You understand? You don't become the chief servant to the king wearing the man had come from the prison. I mean from the pit. You know they had to put something on him if he's gonna be the chief servant to the king. Man, he was decked out, looking good. Got him a new coat. Hebrew in an Egyptian kingdom, and he went he's in the house, Potiphar's house. And then the wife. Saw something on him. Yeah, this is the Bible. And the Bible says that she grabbed him by his coat. And she said, come lay down with me. Come lay down with me. She grabbed him by his coat. Come lay down with me. And the Bible says he ran. And when he ran, she wouldn't let go of the coat. So he done lost coat number two. So then she gonna come back and say, he tried to violate me, he did me wrong, and then that landed him in prison. Now he done went to the pit because a man took his coat. Now he's in prison because a woman took his coat. He's got double victimitis. Or could have it. You might say, what's victimitis? It's a disease called being victim. It's victimitis. Look it up. I just made it up, but it sounds good. I say, I had arthritis, now I got victimitis. Watch it. So, no wonder. See, he's given, I'm about done. He's given us clues to how he made it through all of that. That's going to land him in prison where he's going to meet somebody in prison and minister to somebody in prison. I wish I had all night long. He's going to be in prison, and there's going to be a guy next to him in prison too that he's going to minister to. He's going to minister in prison. You would think in prison he'd be hard, mad. Man, you know what I've been through? I went to a pit, went to the prophets. I've been done around twice. I lost two coats. Don't even talk to me, man. He could have been sitting in prison. God said, hey, man, can you help me through this? I ain't helping nobody. I ain't helping nobody. I ain't helping nobody. I'm talking to me. I don't help nobody. That's victim. But in the prison, he's ministering to somebody. In a place where he's justified to be victim, in there he's ministering to somebody. And then the somebody he's ministering to just happened to be in good relation with the king. So the king said, man, I'm missing my good servant. Get him back out of jail. And he brings him out of jail, and then one day the king has a need, and he says, you know what? There was a guy in prison that ministered to me, and I believe he could help you. And the king said, well, get him out. And now he gets him out of prison, and that's how he ends up at the palace. And then he interprets a dream that saved Egypt from a 7-year drought and becomes the second in the land of Pharaoh. All because no matter where he went, he remained victor, wouldn't let himself become a victim, and God gave him victory all the way to the top, hallelujah, even in a hostile environment. So he said, look, I'm going to name my firstborn Manasseh because through everything I've been through, God has caused me to forget all my toil and my father's house. There's some things we need to forget. They say in those 38 years of your past or however long it's been, 38 weeks, 38 months, whatever. Now, I got to close. Watch this. Let's go over to Genesis 51. I'm closing right here. Some of y'all getting nervous. Well, let's go to 45 first. But watch this. Watch this in Genesis 45, and we're going to read verses 4 and 5. And when you get there, say amen. Hallelujah. And I got to share this because this is good. Because this is what they end up saying about Joseph in Genesis 41:38. We didn't read it. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? When Pharaoh met Joseph, he had done lost two coats. But he said, man, can we find anybody like this, got the Spirit of God on him like this? See, don't worry about the coat. Give them the cloak too. They can't take the anointing. Ah! When Jesus said, man, so you take your coat, give them your cloak too, because they might take the physical one, but they can't take the spiritual one that makes you arise back to the top. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Genesis 45. Or wherever it was. What did I tell you? Okay, watch this. We're going to close right here. So, verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. Now the ones that sold him out, here they are. Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now you ought to be grieved. He said, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. What? That you sold me hither. Don't even be mad at yourself about what you did. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Because he saved the land from a drought where he wouldn't even have been there had they not done what they did. He's saying God used what you did to do what he did through me to save this whole area, to save the world from a drought. So all that worked for good, so don't even be mad at yourself. That's powerful right there. That's victory that says God works this for my good and for the good of others. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Let's go last chapter, last verse. Chapter 50, verse 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Isn't this somehow all things come back together? Because isn't that what his dream was? In a dream, his brothers bowed, their sheaves bowed down to his sheaves. Remember the dream that Joseph had? That the reason they put him out and sold him out is because he had a dream that they all had some sheaves, a harvest, and their sheaves bowed down to his sheaves. And they looked back and said, well, you think we're going to ever bow down to you? And they sold him out, put him in a pit. Look here, they come bowing down. Reminds me of last week of that keeper that came trembling. What verse am I in? Okay, 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? In other words, why are you going to bow down for me? I'm not God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Thank you. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforteth them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. You get the story. But look at that point that he said here in verse 20. He said, you thought it evil, God meant it for good. You thought it evil against me, God turned it for good. Say that loud. You thought it evil, God turned it for good. See, that's victor. That's where you got to look at them folk and them circumstances in your life. You meant it for evil, God will turn it for good. You meant it for evil, but God will turn it for good.
The message you were listening to was taken from a series entitled The Warrior Mindset. Now, in this series, we're talking about the difference between being victim and being victor. Do you know the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? It is vital that we understand how to walk in the victory of faith. So many people relate to being a victim, to being broken, defeated, down, depressed, oppressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less. It's time for you and I to adopt a victor mindset. This series will show you exactly how to do that.
Next week on Ministering the Word broadcast.
There are enemies that have held your family for generations that say, I don't want to give this up. We've always seen divorce in this family. We've always seen abuse in this family. We've always seen alcoholism in this family. And we're not going to give this up. But it's going to take somebody to say, you know what? No, you're going to give this up in the name of Jesus. And instead of praying solely defensively, we're praying offensively to say, Lord, not only am I going to maintain what you've done, I'm going to gain territory that's never been taken before for your glory. The victim. Jezebel made him a victim before she even raised the sword. She got in his head that he was dead. She got in his head that he was a wanted man. She got in his head that he was threatened. Just the planning of the thought in his head victimized him. And once he became the victim, he retreats into a cave asking God to be the one to take his life. Don't you think anyone will do you like that? He'll drive you into isolation. He will drive you into a place of loneliness and tell you that nothing's working for you. Nobody likes you. This thing's never going to work for you. And you'll find yourself in your bedroom alone, retreating, neither being defensive of the territory God's already given you or offensive to take more territory. Because once the enemy makes you a victim, you isolate. I am blessed by God, and therefore he can't even curse me. So I don't applaud the enemy for a good day and say, I did this because the devil left me alone. We see, the victim says that. The victim says the devil's busy. The victim says the enemy won't let me get the job. The enemy says, well, I can't do nothing because the devil is busy. No, the victim says that. The victor says, devil, you ain't got nothing on me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Not only will I maintain the territory God has given me, I will take your territory. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent will take it by force. Where has the enemy driven you? What is God saying to you right now? What are you doing there? Is it a sin you committed? Is it shame? Is it failure? Is it an attempt of the enemy? Is it what someone did to you? What drove you to think you needed to isolate? You're neither on offense or defense. You're in total retreat. You've become a victim.
Word of God Academy is now enrolling kindergarten through 11th grade for the 2016-2017 school year. Word of God Academy provides academic excellence in a Christ-centered environment. The use of cutting-edge technology ensures a dynamic encounter for all students. Our teachers are certified and our academy is advanced ed accredited. Word of God Academy offers an interactive and spiritually productive learning experience for all grades. Call us today for a tour.